I thought we had quite a crowd here a few minutes ago. Things really emptied out. Well, it's one thing we do is have a lot of kids in this church. And when you take the Sunday school teachers out too, you create quite a gap. Why don't we open with a word of prayer? Father, we would come to you today. We just thank you for this time together. We thank you for your word, and that, Lord, that we can be confident that it is truth, and that we can entrust our lives to it. Father, we just thank you for the ministry of your Spirit in our lives, and we just pray, Father, that you would be working in us individually, Lord, in causing us to grow and to mature, and to grasp the things that pertain to life and godliness. Father, we just commit this message to you and just pray, Lord, that it would be taken to my heart as well as to the heart of those that hear. We would just commit this time to you in Christ's name. Yesterday afternoon, as I was just about ready to get off of work, I experienced a moment of insecurity, and I was thinking, I am not really going to preach this message tomorrow. I really hadn't this message prepared for some time now, and yet I feel like, in some respects, that I don't fully understand it myself. And that's where my moment of insecurity came in, is that I think sometimes that we as believers in the maturing process, oftentimes we grasp concepts and principles and quote-unquote Bible truths mentally, but have never really experienced them to any great extent in our own life. And I feel like this is probably kind of the boat that I'm in at this time with this message. And so that makes it difficult for me, and it does raise any insecurities that might be hidden down deep there. But as I began to think about it and kind of really write a final draft last evening, I decided that, well, you know, if I don't understand, what I need to do is I need to do what it takes to understand. I need to study, and I need to think about it, and I need to practice these things that I don't fully understand. And so, this is phase one of seeing these things I want to speak about this morning become a reality not only in my life, but in your lives also. I really have a very simple message this morning. I like them to keep them simple. I think in the last three times that I've spoken, I think I've tried to cram in a lot of things, and actually it may seem like I had tried to inject a number of ideas, but actually I'd cut out quite a few. But this morning my message is really quite simple. And it is one of how we take sound doctrine or right thinking and how we integrate it into our lives. How it changes our lives, how it creates brings a sinner into a saint. Or, I'd like to rephrase that, bring a sinner saved by grace to mature walk. Now that is, maybe in one sense, a pretty awesome task to try to accomplish. And I'm probably only going to hit the tip of the iceberg, but in the last three times I've talked about kind of really setting the stage for today. I talked about how probably the most common mistake that we as Christians make is trying to live the Christian life in our own strength. And if we're honest with ourselves, we are quick to realize that we cannot do that. Well, if we cannot do that ourselves, how can we do it? Well, it's really only by the grace of God. It's by His empowerment, it's by His ability that He gives us via His grace that we really can see growth in our own personal walk with the Lord and growth in the area of our service to Him in practical ways. Well, that leaves us with another question, which I raised last week, and that is, how, if we can't do it, and God does it all, exactly what is our responsibility? I think we all realize that we just can't sit in our Christian life like a bump on the log, and God, through some spiritual process of osmosis, permeates our life with holiness and with fruitful service. So how does that happen? Well, that's kind of what I'm going to talk about this morning. If you turn with me, we're going to turn to 2 Kings chapter 18. I'm just going to read a number of verses here and you can follow along. We're going to kind of jump around a little bit, but bear with me. I always hesitate going to 1 Samuel or 2 Samuel or the Kings or Samuel or the Chronicles because you get into this terrible situation with all these names that you cannot pronounce. But I'm going to jump right in and do my best. 2 Kings chapter 18, verse 1, it says, "Now it came about in the third year of Hosea, the son of Elah, the king of Israel, that Hezekiah, the son of Ahaz, king of Judah, became king. He was 25 years old when he became king. He reigned 29 years in Jerusalem, and his mother's name was Abi, the daughter of Zechariah. And he did right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that his father David had done." Chapter 21, verse 1. "Manasseh was 12 years old when he became king, and he reigned 55 years in Jerusalem, and his mother's name was Hephzibah. And he did evil in the sight of the Lord according to the abominations of the nations whom the Lord dispossessed before the sons of Israel." Chapter 22, verse 1. It says, "Josiah was 8 years old when he became king, and he reigned 31 years in Jerusalem, and his mother's name was Jedidiah, the daughter of Adadiah of Bozkath. And he did right in the sight of the Lord and walked in all the way of his father David, nor did he turn aside to the right or to the left." Chapter 23, verse 36. "Jehoiakim was 25 years old when he became king. He reigned 11 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Zedidiah, the daughter of Pedaiah of Rumah. And he did evil in the sight of the Lord according to all that his father had done." Now you're probably wondering why I turned to the kings, but one thing, we looked at four kings, and we could look at many, many more. We looked at four kings from the nation of Judah after the tribes had split, and we saw two good ones and two bad ones. And what did it say? Did you catch it? That Hezekiah did good in the sight of the Lord. Manasseh did evil in the sight of the Lord. Josiah did good in the sight of the Lord. And Jehoiakim did evil in the sight of the Lord. And what that illustrates to me is that we, as individuals, make choices as to the path that we will follow. You see, Manasseh was intent on pleasing himself. Whereas, on the other hand, Josiah had determined in his heart that he was to follow the Lord. Now, we're not talking about perfection here. It's not that every deed that Manasseh did was evil. And it's not that every deed that Josiah did was good. But we're talking about the general tenor here, the general direction of their life. And you see, that is our choice. You see, as we would quote-unquote seek to follow the Lord, we have choices to make. as to the direction, as to the path that we are going to follow. And I think this is really key to the overall direction, the overall end results that we see in our lives. Well, this is not... let me back up. It says, right thinking or sound doctrine should lead to right conduct. And right conduct expresses itself in obedient service to the Lord. You see, I think that we can possess right doctrine, and I think that in many churches there is a tremendous amount of teaching that goes forth, and that we assimilate and absorb at least to a certain degree this knowledge, and we store it here in our memory bank. And oftentimes, it never really gets much further than that. Now, I know that to be true, at least in my own life. I know that my knowledge far exceeds my life, my lifestyle, the way I conduct my life. And I believe it's true, it's a general tendency of every believer. So one thing that's important is, first of all, we need to choose which direction we want to go. And then we need to seek to make our life consistent with what we know. You see, in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, if you've been around me very long, you'll see that I come to this verse quite often, and it means a lot to me because it speaks of a process that we all struggle with. 2 Corinthians 11:3 says, I'm in the wrong book here. 2 Corinthians 11:3 says, "But I am afraid lest as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, your minds should be led astray from the simplicity and purity of devotion to Christ." See, now last week I talked about this concept of right thinking, of going to the Word of God and seeing what God has for us. We have to have it here, our mind. And you see, our flesh wages a war against our spirit in this area. See, and we looked in Romans chapter 8, where it talks about set your mind. No, that's in Colossians. My mind went blank. Romans 8, 5. Says, "For those who are according to the flesh have set their minds on the things of the flesh." You see, that is our natural tendency. It says, "But those who are according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For the mind set on the flesh is death, but the mind set on the Spirit is life and peace." So, it begins here, but we want to translate it from a mere right thinking or sound doctrine into a life of holiness. That's God's desire for our lives. Well, in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, we see that Satan used Eve's mind to divert her devotion to God. She said, you know, he come up to her and said, you know, "Why don't you eat this fruit here?" And they said, "Well, the Lord said we can't." And, you know, and Satan said, "Well, you know, God doesn't want you. I know why God doesn't want you to eat that fruit. He doesn't want you to know good and evil." See, he kind of twisted the truth there a little bit. And so she bit the bait and she sinned. She introduced sin into the world. See, she was deceived. She was distracted from her devotion to God. And see, that's what happens in our lives. We need to continually right our thinking and right our practice. You see, we need to deal with this area of the transition between sound doctrine and right conduct. But there are some basic prerequisites, I believe, that are important for us to consider. I'm not really saying I don't think anything new today. In the last three times that I've preached on this kind of on this subject, I don't think I have shared anything that's a new revelation. But I realize that it's only through the working of the Spirit, of pricking our conscience and motivating us, that we'll really see these things happen in our lives, that we'll really see growth in our personal walk. We'll only see growth in our personal holiness. We'll only see growth in our service to the Lord in practical areas, in our community, in our church, in our family. So I feel like in one sense I'm a little bit redundant here, but I think it's so important for us to consider these things. And that's my challenge for you today, is to think about these things and to meditate on them. And not just listen to me, but to look at these scriptures that we've looked over in the past weeks and see what God has for you personally and how you can apply His Word to your life. Well, one of the basic prerequisites is we need to be willing to accept the will of God for our lives. You see, it's one thing to possess spiritual knowledge. See, we can assimilate that to a degree. We can grow up in a church and we can be familiar with a lot of spiritual terms, a lot of spiritual knowledge. You can get on the radio, you can get it on TV, you can get it in many churches in almost any community that you would choose. But there's a large difference, a tremendous gap between right thinking or spiritual knowledge and accepting it for my life. You see what I'm saying? You see, I need to accept the will of God for my life. You see, I knew a couple one time, and they were a young couple, and they had two small children, and I saw this woman. It was almost, those two children were almost more than she could cope with. They were just a tremendous distress to her. But you see, the will of God, as a parent, as a mother, was for her so that she was responsible for the care and at least in part for the upbringing of those children. You see, and I believe, and I'd like to talk with her about it now, this has been a number of years ago, but I believe that she wasn't willing to accept what God had for her. You see, she had other ambitions, and these children had just kind of come in the way of what she really wanted to see, what she wanted to accomplish. And so she was struggling with God's will for her life and her circumstance. Well, there's a multitude of examples of that. See, God has a will for each and every one of us, but we need to be willing to accept it. I mean, that's a basic prerequisite for growing and maturing in our Christian walk. The second thing is accepting God's methods of working out His will in our lives. Now, the first one may be a little bit hard to swallow, but I believe that the second one is even more difficult. But it's a prerequisite, I believe, to Christian growth. It's a prerequisite to a walk pleasing to the Lord. Let me give you an example. Now, I've often used the employee-employer relationship as an example. Over the last few years, I've often referred to that. And the reason I often refer to that is I cannot think of one single thing one area that I have learned more spiritual truth than in the area of an employee-employer relationship. Because when you're out there working 40, 50, 60 hours a week, that's where the rubber meets the road when it comes to your religion, the living out of your religion through your life. And you see, oftentimes, even when you deal with Christians, the road can be rough. But when you deal with the unsaved, it can be rougher. And so, what I'm talking about accepting the methods of God's working, you see, we know that, and we are all probably aware that the Christian should possess certain Christian virtues. You know, he should be patient, he should be honest, he should be kind, he should be loving, he should not get angry, he should be long-suffering. There's quite a long list of virtues that even the world recognizes that a Christian should possess. Well, You get into this situation with your boss, and I'll say this, that I have both failed and I have succeeded in this. That my boss threw something at me that I did not appreciate in any way, shape, or form. Whether it's what he wanted me to do or whatever it might be. And I have responded in two basic ways. One way, and this is the first reaction of the flesh, is to fight it. You know, the anger kind of wells up. And sometimes we even get verbal about that anger. And we respond harshly back to him. And we can kind of give him a piece of our mind. And it's not generally too long after that, if we're not too callous, that we have some regrets of what we did and said. Well, the other way, of course, is just the opposite. And that is that we're just willing to submit to what our boss wants. It may be unreasonable. It may be illogical. But I'm just going to submit, you know. All things work together for good. And I don't understand this, but God has something in it for me. And I'm just going to look back, sit back, and see what he has to teach me. Now, I've been in both boats. I believe the one reaction, on the one hand, where we fight it, is that I'm not willing to accept God's methods of working out his will in my life. See, I'm going to fight it. I'm going to resist. I'm not going to submit. I'm not going to yield. On the other hand, we can have the same exact set of circumstances, and we can, I believe, respond in the way that God would have us to respond. You know, we can just submit to his wishes, and if his business is going to go under because of what he wants me to do, well, that's his business, you know. I'll just look for another job if it does go under. And we can rely on the grace of God to help us in those areas. You see, this is what really faith is all about, isn't it? We always sing that song, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding." Now, this is what faith is, you know, it's just leaving it in God's hands and not leaning on our own understanding. You see, that's when we get into trouble. See, that's when I start fighting. It's when I start reasoning these things through and my set of circumstances and I begin to analyze, and I can get aggravated, upset, just all sorts of these negative virtues that we're trying to see diminish in our lives. Well, those are two basic prerequisites. Now I'd like to get into, why don't you turn with me to Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1, verse 9, it says, "For this reason also, since the day we heard of it, we have not ceased to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will and all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so that you may walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, to please him in all respects, bearing fruit in every good work, increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, for the attaining of all steadfastness with patience, joyously giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to share in the inheritance of the saints of light." Okay? Paul here prays for four basic things. Number one, for spiritual insight for the Colossians. He prays for that they would have a worthy walk. He prays for abundant power. And he prays for a thankful spirit. This morning I'm not going to deal with all these, but I would like to at least get started. In verse 9, it says, "For this reason, since the day we heard of it, we have not ceased to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled, with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding." Okay, now this kind of corresponds with what we really talked with about in the past, and that is right thinking. You see, Paul is praying that Colossians would know the will of God, that they would have a real knowledge of the will of God, and that they would not only know it, but they would be able to apply it to their lives. He prays that they would have knowledge in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. You see, this is reality. This is truth. You see, the Word of God is our source of real knowledge. The Word of God is our source of wisdom and understanding. That is reality. You see, the world says, what the Bible says, that's a bunch of hocus pocus. That's a bunch of spiritual nonsense. Do you mean you believe that? You actually mean that you believe that? You see, that's what the world is saying to us today in many subtle forms. Well, the reality is that what God says in this Bible, it's really our roadmap to holiness. It's our roadmap to a life pleasing to God. You see? If we know the will of God in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, you see, we can and hopefully see that incorporated into our own lives. You see, there's a real important connection between verses 9 and 10. The first aspect that Paul prays for is that they would know the will of God in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. The second part is the reason why he wants them to know the will of God is to please themselves? No. To please their wife? Their employer? To eliminate friction in interpersonal relationships? No. Verse 10 says, so that they may walk in a manner worthy of the Lord. You see, the purpose of knowing the will of God, just to put it simply, is a worthy walk, a walk pleasing to the Lord. You see, Manasseh, the route, the avenue that he chose was one of pleasing himself. Really, God's desires were of little or no consequence in his life. Josiah was really the opposite. At the age of 8, he reigned, and after several years of reigning, he began a mass destruction of evil in the nation of Judah. They even discovered the Word of God again in the temple. You see, not only is knowing the will of God, though, enough, and as we begin to see it happen, as we see it incorporated into our life, you see, we see another aspect come to the surface, and that is one of fruit. Fruit in every good work. And that is God's desire. We can turn to John and see, John 15, and see where fruit is an important aspect of the Christian's life. He wants to see it really in a number of areas, in many ways. Well, even as I stand here, and as I've thought about that, at this point in time, my understanding begins to break down. I mean, in one sense, I understand it mentally, but in another sense, I don't see it as a reality in my life. And there seems to be quite a gap in between those two, you see? And so I can stand up here, or I can sit in there, and I can say, yeah, this is true. And I turn around, and I walk away, and what did he say? What was he really talking about? See, that's where I've been, and am at times. Let me give you an illustration. Who knows where Faye Street is here in Hutchinson, Kansas? Is Tony here? He should, because he's a fireman. I asked Mark this morning. He knew where Faye Street was. You know where Faye Street is? It's only one block long. One block long. You see? Well, most of us here would need a map of Hutchinson to find Faye Street. It's really quite simple. If you started here and you were going to go to Fay Street, you would go from, you'd go over here to Plum, and you'd go north to 17th, and you'd turn right, and you'd go to Norman Road, which is one block, and then you would turn left, and you'd go one block, and you'd turn right on Sunflower, and you would go another block, and there's Fay Street, if you go left. There's Fay Street, and it's one block between Sunflower and Harvest Lane. Well, that's real profitable information, isn't it? Okay. Well, you see, in a sense, in a very real sense, you see, a road map tells us how to get from point A to point B, from 6th and Elm to Fay Street. Okay? Well, you see, the will of God, in a sense, is our roadmap to holiness, isn't it? It tells us how to get to point A, and that's where we're at when we get saved, to point B. You see, we have the Word of God. See, that's what Paul's praying for. He's praying that they would have all knowledge in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, a prerequisite to knowing how to get there. You've got to know, God tells us. So he even gives us the power, okay? Well, when we reach that destination, you see, when we get to Fay Street, you see, and that's where the garage sale is I want to go to, you see, I've accomplished what I've set out to accomplish. I have received the fruit of my, if you will, the fruit of my endeavors. You see, I've taken the knowledge and I've applied it. I put my wheels to my map and I've gotten from point A to point B. Well, in a sense, that's what happens in the Christian life, you see. As we incorporate, as we become familiar with the will of God for our lives, you see, then we have the direction. We have the way, the path that God would have us to get from point A to point B. If you didn't know where Fay Street was, you could look a long time before you found it. You could spend a lot of gas, even in small town USA, finding that street. You see? But if you have a map, it's not hard to find. Because it shows you right where it is. Well, that's the way it is with the will of God. That's exactly the way it is with the will of God. But, unfortunately, this example of the road map is an oversimplification of how it is in our Christian life. You see, we don't just get saved at point A, and our final destination is point B, and we just follow the instructions and we go and we're there and there's fruit in our lives. That's not the way it is. You see? Because in the Christian life, it's a continual process. It's not a once and for all situation. It's a continual process for really from now until the Lord comes back. From now until the Lord takes us home. You see? But I think the illustration is good because as we apply, as we take in obedience, you see, as we are obedient to the will of God, as we submit, as we by faith accept what He has for us, you see, fruit is born. It's not that we produce fruit, but it's that God produces fruit in our lives. And we experience, really, I think what most of us are desiring for our own lives. Okay? Well, there's a third aspect here in this area of pleasing walk, and that is increasing in the knowledge of God. You see, as we indeed see these things incorporated into our lives, beginning to be incorporated, I mean, there'll still be failure, and there'll still be struggles and frustration, but as we begin to see this become more and more a part of our lives, you see, we will increase in the knowledge of God. In Psalm 36, it says, "In thy light I see light." You see, if you're in the Spirit, you see, God, at that point in time, is able to communicate to you on a spiritual level. Well, part of the increasing of knowledge, I believe, too, is hard work. See, it's not that, again, it's just a process of osmosis that we absorb the spiritual knowledge as we do what we're supposed to do. But I think that we need that as we see our failure, as we see our struggles, as we realize that we don't really understand what we thought we understood, it drives us to the Word of God. And we begin to dig and we begin to seek reality. And I believe that's what we all need to do as believers. You know, this has been, in the small group, there's different units we've been studying have been real good for me. This one on submission that we have, it's really changed some of my thinking 180 degrees of what I thought prior to studying that. And I think it's been a tremendous benefit in my relationship to other people. The understanding the distinction between and the correlation between authority and submission. I think this one that we're in now, this one about yielding rights, I don't want to use expectations because we're going to get in trouble next week. I have a desire to really understand what that means to yield rights. You see? And this is what I'm talking about. You see, we need to increase. You see, as in our walk, you see, we're going to run into these gray areas, these shadows that we grasp, but we don't really have. And so we need to increase in the knowledge of God. And God is there and ready and willing to do that. Well, our time is gone. So I think I'll stop there. With one last thought. In verse 11, it talks about strengthened with all power according to His glorious might. You see, once again, the Christian life cannot be lived by my own energy, by human strength. I can only live the Christian life by supernatural power. See, Paul said in Philippians chapter 4, verse 13, says, I can do all things through Him, right? I can do all things through Him who strengthens me. So that's where our strength is. That's where our power lies. You know, in John 15, you can do nothing. You can do nothing without Christ. He is the source, the root. And we are the branches. And we draw our strength. We really draw everything that we have from the Lord. So I hope you'll consider these things. One of the best things about speaking is it forces you to consider these things. At least long enough to get up here to share them. I have a friend up here. But we need to consider these truths. And I believe that they'll revolutionize your life. You know, I think of when I went to work for Firestone. I don't know if anybody else realized it there, but I was experiencing tremendous spiritual victory in my life. Now, Billy Asbury might have a little bit of understanding what that was like. But I had a boss there that he was not too whoopee. He's not the type of boss you want, okay? Well, a couple years earlier, I had a boss very similar to that manager of Firestone here in Hutch. And I responded the wrong way. But I didn't always respond at Firestone the right way. But I tell you, in comparison, even you guys would have been impressed. You see? And so I know that these things are true. And I know that it is your desire to see them happen, but they just don't happen. We have to take some initiative, realizing that God is the one who does it. You see? I can't deal with it. I cannot deal with an unreasonable boss. You know, there's nothing more frustrating to me than try to deal with somebody who you cannot reason with. You know? That's my flesh. You know, it's so frustrating. I mean, how can you communicate? How can you have any type of relationship with a person? You see, you know how the flesh responds, you know. Well, I'll leave you with that. Why don't we close with prayer? And I hope you will consider these things. I'm sure the Lord will remind you, give you opportunity. Father, we do thank you for this time. We just pray that you would use this time, not only in my life, but in all of our lives. Lord, we know that your overall desire is for not only us as individuals, but really for the church here, the Gospel Chapel, that, Lord, that we would be drawing closer to you, that, Lord, that there would be an overflow of your working and your grace in our lives to those within the church and those without. Lord, our neighbors, all those people that we come in contact with. Lord, this is indeed what it means to be a light for you, is to let you indeed be the light for us. We would just commit these things to us. Lord, help us to grasp them. Help us, Lord, to gain a better understanding of your will. Help us to apply it to our lives that you might receive the honor and the glory. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. It's my ambition, after I retire, is to build a different podium so I don't have to keep dragging it over there. But that will be a while yet. So, thank you. You are dismissed.